Hi, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the Hiltran United Weekly Message and Podcast. I'm glad you're making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end, but for now, let's dive right in.
Our scripture reading today comes from Romans 7 through 25 of the New Living Translation. Well then, am I suggesting that the law of God is sinful? Of course not. In fact, it was the law that showed me my sin. I would never have known that coveting is wrong if the law had not said, you must not covet. But sin used in this command to arouse all kinds of covetous desires within me. If there were no law, sin would not have that power. At one time, I lived without understanding the law. But when I learned the command not to covet, for instance, the power of sin came to life. And I died. So I discovered that the law's commands, which were supposed to bring life, brought spiritual death instead. Sin took advantage of those commands and deceived me. It used the commands to kill me, but still, the law itself is holy, and its commands are holy and right and good. But how can that be? Did the law, which is good, cause my death? Of course not. Sin used what was good to bring about my condemnation to death. So we can see how terrible sin really is. It uses God's good commands for its own evil purposes. So that the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is within me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is? In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. May God bless your hearing, your understanding, and application of Scripture. Amen.
I feel like I'm in a prison. In my mind, there's a closet. In that closet is a box. I go to this box at least once a day. I dread opening it, but I don't know how to live without it. In this box, I keep the past. I keep my mistakes and failures, my sins and my regrets. This box contains the voices that keep me from moving forward, all the things that keep me from living. These cards, these voices, have become the very definition of my inner being. They keep me from escaping the darkest parts of me. You deceive. You only care about yourself. You're an addict. You're unkind. You judge others. There are times when I feel strong enough to take back control, to let go of these regrets, to just walk away. But every time I try, I hear the voices even louder. This is who you are. You're no better than you were before. Do you think God still wants you? Do you think He still cares? How many times is He going to take you back? You're careless and selfish. You just don't measure up. And I'm pulled right back into the box. With shame and guilt. Without freedom. I have allowed this box to imprison me.
Well, good morning, church. My name's Pastor Harold Long. I am the teaching pastor here for Hiltran Ministries. It's great to be here with you this morning. And it's great to help out with A and B since Peggy's gone. But it's really hard when you have ADHD to run all that and do all this stuff at the same time. It's a lot of fun. It's always challenging. But it's good. It's all coming together. We are in a message series titled Romans, I'm Not Ashamed of the Gospel. Our scripture reading today, which Pam read for us, Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 25. We read from the New Living Translation today. Brings us to the title of our message, Why Do I Do the Things That I Don't Want to Do? And that's a fair question, and it's a question everybody in the world wrestles with, not just believers. But I just want to recap quickly that if you've missed out on a lot of this message series, Romans chapter 1 through 7 introduce us to the problem of our sin nature, the problem of our spiritual bankruptcy, if you would, and in our dark nature, our sinful nature, our depravity, however you want to frame it, to bring us to the reality of the topic of sin, character defects, shortcomings that exist in all of us. And despite turning our lives over to the care of God, despite being baptized, despite sharing in communion, practicing spiritual principles in all of our affairs, sharing our money, our time, our talents with the kingdom of God, despite all that, we all still fall short. We all fall short of God's chosen ideas. So why do we do the things that I don't want to do? Why? And it's what we're going to unpack today. If you remember the diagram, some of you may not have been here, but I inserted diagrams into the bulletins, into the lesson plans over the course of this series. If you don't have those, I encourage you to go to our website, which you can find on the bulletin, and just go to the tab titled Bulletins and Lesson Plans, and you can find those diagrams inside those bulletins. If you struggle, just send me an email, and I'll be glad to shoot them to you myself. But these bulletins give you a frame of reference to understand what Romans 1 through 7 really unpack for us. And it's so imperative to get it because it really will make a big difference in how your life turns out. It'll make a big difference in how you do battle with the sin nature that still exists and occupies your life. And we're going to unpack that. But it gives you something to hang on to. It gives you a way to reference it. It gives you a way to articulate it, to talk about it, to think about it. So if you have those handouts, I encourage you to keep them, especially in this section of Romans, for future study for your life. The human being is made up of the body, the soul, and the spirit. It's three parts. Bible scripture tells us this. This is the human makeup. The body, what you see here, this is the chassis that gets you from birth till whenever you go to be with the Lord. And then you have the soul, and I've explained it many times, but I'll explain it again, that the soul is made up of three parts. Our mind, our will, and our emotions. Really important to know that when we sing songs like It Is Well With My Soul, and we're praying for your soul, but we suffer from a soul sickness, what does that mean? Well, it's really important to know what that means. From a spiritual perspective, you need to know what that means. So when I say, you know, how is my soul? It's a great question that Susan Wesley used to ask John Wesley all the time. All the kids, when she put in the bed, that was her question. At night, every night, 10 kids, 10 questions. How is your soul? Well, this is what she's talking about. How is my mind? How's your will? How's your emotions today? And then, of course, we have this cavity in our life that's filled, that's only to be occupied by the Spirit. It can be the Holy Spirit or it can be the dark spirit. Prior to being saved, definitely the dark spirit inherited this cavity or resided here. So this is what makes us up. And once we're saved, the good news is, referring back to that diagram, this cavity that was filled with darkness gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And this agency of sin gets pushed out of our soul and out of our spirit. But unfortunately, it still resides in our body. And it will till the day you die. So you got to know that. So this delusional thinking that somehow or another that this body is going to be free from temptation or free from sin is just not true. It's not a license to act a fool. It's not a license to engage the sin. It's just a reality. And it helps explain why we do the things that we don't want to do. So if you're under this delusion that somehow or some Christians are out here running around, they're just all perfect and they don't really mess up too bad and they don't really have any challenges, it's delusional at best. So just that should give you some hope if you're struggling with what you're doing battle with. Would you struggle what you saw in the opening video of this guy struggling with what was inside his box? The body remains in the cavity of darkness and it will for the rest of our lives. The spirit, though, that, you know, again, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell with inside us, deep down inside us, and helps us to heal and live into a Jesus-centered life. But this contaminated body will still continue to struggle. And the body, when I say the body, it includes the brain. But the brain is not your mind. Unfortunately, we tell people, hey man, use your brain. Anybody ever tell you that? I mean, I got told that my whole life. Susie still tells me that. Use your brain. You know, I'm teasing. Not really, but I'll say that. But it's really not what they're saying is use your brain. It's use your mind. The brain is just a chassis that carries it from point A to point B. It will die with the body. But the brain, being part of the body, being part of the flesh, will continue to sin because it's got sin in it. We'll continue to send sinful thoughts to our brain. And those thoughts can become temptations. Those thoughts and those temptations aren't sin themselves until I take a bite out of them. But once I take a bite out of them, then it can consume me. And this is what I'm up against. This is what you're up against for the rest of our lives. Our bumper video illustrated the use of a box. You know, this box is what holds all the dirt on you, if you want to call it that. Has all the dirt. Well, sin's going to exploit whatever's in this box for the rest of your life. Whatever your hurts, habits, hang-ups, whatever your regrets, whatever you just wish never happened, whatever you wish you could just go back and erase from your life, it's all here. And the dark side will bring it out every chance you'll give it an audience. And it centers in our mind. And all it's got to do is just call out to you. Hey, Harold. Hey, Harold. And as soon as I say what, I'm toast. I'm toast. As soon as I give it an audience, as soon as I give it place, as soon as it'll pull up a front row seat, and it'll start unloading what's in my box. And if I listen to it long enough, I can just disqualify myself out of the kingdom of God, much less the pulpit. You know, you're not worthy to be here. God doesn't love you. You know, I mean, you listen to it. It sounds silly, but it's true. And it happens at a very subconscious level. And it's like sometimes it's like there's just two voices, and that's all there is. One voice selling a bag of goods, and the other voice buying it. You know, and then we suffer from it. And this is part of that spiritual soul sickness. And believe me, the dark side will try to utilize that tool every chance it gets. And if we fail to confess what's going on between our ears, because this is where the battle's fought. You know, this is where the war is waged between our mind. If we fail to share this, then we're in prison. We're right back into what that guy says. I try to get away from the box. Sometimes I'm so sick of myself. I'm so sick of still doing this stuff, some of this stuff. And I just swear off and I'm not going to do it again. But then it just calls me back and I go right back. And sometimes deeper than I ever been before because sin is very progressive. It always starts small, but it continues to get bigger and it gets bigger. And I get imprisoned by it. And the problem is, there's two guards outside the door, and the guards are pride and fear. They stand guard of what's in the box. They stand guard of me in that cell. And these voices attempt to convince us that God doesn't even exist, that God's not even real, And if God is real, he sure the heck doesn't care about you. This is where the darkness can take any of us, regardless of how long you've been coming around. And our ego is not our friend. There's an old saying, maybe you've heard it before, our ego is not our amigo. You ever heard that? Well, it's really true. You know, our ego is not our friend. Our ego gets made up of pride and fear. Pride says, I don't have to. Suck it up, buttercup. How long you been alive? How long you been walking with the Lord? How many Sunday school classes have you been to? Just stop doing it. If you really loved God, you wouldn't do this. If you really loved your family, you sure wouldn't do this. You know? So you must be a fraud. You must be a phony. You must be a fake. And the fear says you dare not tell anybody about what's going on up here. You know? Because they're just not going to love you anymore. They're not going to respect you. They're not going to invite you. They're not going to want you to be a part of their circle. They're not going to want to talk to you anymore. And so these two, pride and fear, stand outside the door of what's in your box, and they hold you hostage. And what typically happens in the world with all people, whether you're a Christian or not, is that we only really share about 60 to 80% of what's going on in our life. And the other 20, 30, 40% we keep in the box. And this is the challenge in life. It truly is. As we mentioned last week, people in recovery who have a whole lot in their box, a whole lot of junk in their box, have found refuge in the 12 steps because it gives them a platform to actually work through what's in the box. And not just work through it, but take it out and lay it out on the table for everybody to see. That's huge. They have a mentor, somebody who's going to walk shoulder to shoulder with them and help them do it. How they do it? By sharing their own experience, their own strength, and their own hope. It's not a judgment deal. It's walking shoulder to shoulder with people. It's what Jesus asked us to do, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Right? That's what God asked us to do as kingdom people with each other. But it's what we need that in our lives. Somebody walking shoulder to shoulder with us, helping us rediscover life. So we're not all alone with this stuff that happens at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes it's just loud. It's when I get attacked the most is in my dreams and when I'm laying my head on the pillow at night. You know, my mentor, first mentor, told me, Harold, your mind's like a bad neighborhood. Don't go in there alone, you know. But sometimes we just venture off, take a drive, you know. And man, we're just held hostage. It's true. It's funny because you know what I'm talking about. But it's not. And what do you do at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning when you just can't sleep? That's usually what we say. I couldn't sleep last night. I was restless. But what we're talking about is the spiritual warfare going on between our head. So we can get up, we can pray, we can read the Bible, we can listen to a podcast, we can listen to some soul music. There's lots of things or a combination thereof to get us out of ourselves. But the key is that I got to get out of this mindset. I have to. If I just lay there, I'm going to be devoured. And so we're given tools to do that. But this faith journey we're on, to live this Jesus-centered life, to find refuge, as we ended in the last paragraph of this scripture reading today, to find refuge in Jesus, requires participation on our part. This is where I think we miss it. You know, we're quick to say, I believe, we're quick to say, Jesus is my Savior, come live in my life, be the Lord of my life, but not realizing we have a part to play. God's will requires our participation. And through these first seven chapters of Romans, it's really clear what that is. You got to repent, you got to exercise your faith, and you have to exercise repentance. It means you have to confess what's in your box. When's the last time you've confessed what's in your box? And this is a lifelong practice. This isn't a one-time deal. This is something you need to do for the rest of your life. You need to have that mentor, that person, that inner group, that small group, that people, that trusted confidant that you can go to on a consistent basis and say, here's what's in my box, good, bad, and ugly. Here it is. But then we got to turn from the old life. And if we don't turn from the old life and we continue to test the flesh, this being the flesh, we'll lose every time. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. I don't care if Jesus is your mentor. If you test the flesh, you will lose every single time. If you hang out at the barbershop, you're going to get a haircut. You stand at the bakery long enough, you're going to eat a cupcake. Right? You hang out in the dark side, dark things are going to happen. You hang out with broken people, broken things are going to happen. It's just how it goes. So I have a choice of the people, places, and things that I align myself with, which will influence me big time. Three questions you should ask yourself all the time. Number one, who am I around? And number two, what's it doing to me? And ultimately, number three, is it okay? If the people and the things that I'm doing aren't taking me closer to God, then I got a choice to make. I have some decisions to make. And it doesn't mean I might not just totally push these people out of life, but I definitely might limit that, the time I'm with certain individuals or certain people or watching certain things or reading certain things. If it's influencing the darkness, I mean, more than the light. But this is my part. But if I don't, I just continue to look like everybody else in the world, watch what they watch, read what they read, do what they do. I'm going to continue to be, the flesh is going to constantly be in turmoil, and I'm going to lose every single time. And just, it's just the way it goes. And this is what we're called. It's more than just turning our will and lives over to the care of God, because we're still going to fall short. But what's beautiful about this faith journey is that Romans 5:1, if you remember Romans chapter 5, biggest promise from that very first chapter is that we are made right with God. The minute I say, God, be my Savior, come into my life, I'm broken, I'm a knucklehead, please take me. God says yes, because it takes two to say yes to a relationship. God's already said yes, we say yes. The minute that happens, I'm 100% right with God for the rest of my life. There's nothing I ever got to do. I'm not going to pray enough. I'm not going to go to church enough. I'm not going to listen to Joy FM enough to get God to love me any more than He already loves me. But I have to do my part, this next piece, and that's to exercise my faith and exercise my repentance. And that's in that process of becoming more like Jesus, that process of being made holy, in our circles we would call that sanctification. You know, it's just another means of grace. Means that under the perfect love of God, God's shaping, it's just like Plato, God's shaping us little by little into the person He's always created us to be. To become the best version of us we could ever be. But I have to participate in it. I have to be a willing participant for that to happen. God gives us a free will, greatest courage, greatest gift. I can say no to that one day and yes to it the next. And this is kind of how the process goes for each and every one of us. So this is the process. So I can have hope, I can have peace, I can have comfort, knowing that I'm 100% right with God. But I got to have enough intelligence and enough truth in me to know that I'm not perfect. Even though I'm made a saint, even though I'm fully glorified, even though I'm fully accepted, even though I have a new name. And we'll sing that here in a little bit. Hello, my name is. You know, I don't have all these labels that I used to have, because I'm a new creation. But all that being said, I'm not perfect. But I'm striving under the perfect love of God to become the best version of me possible, to live out, not just to live for my own self-interest, but to live a Jesus-centered life. This is what we're called today. Paul keeps, in our readings today, keeps referring to the fact that the law is spiritual and it's good. If we didn't have laws, there would be total chaos. Just think if there were no street ordinances or street laws or, you know, speed limits or stop signs or red lights. You know, and you just, a free-for-all, just go for it. It would be crazy. But even, so we would all agree that laws are good. Even people that denounce God, secular people that said God doesn't exist, would still subscribe to the idea that laws are a pretty good idea. We got to have something, some rule of order. But the reality is, if you trace the lineage and history of the law, where does it come back to? It comes back to the Bible. They don't want to say that, you know, but they don't want to go without the laws. But we all struggle with it. I mean, some of you are old enough to remember when we used to drive 75, then it was 65, then it was 55, then it was back to this. But how many can drive 55? I mean, Sammy Hagar wrote a song, I can't drive 55. Amen, Sammy. The prophet Sammy Hagar. I'm with you. And just think if the speed limit was just 35. Now, some of you, as you've gotten older, that's all the faster you drive. And those of us who can't drive 55 really struggle when we're behind you. You know, we're like, just get out of the way! You know, we struggle with that. Because we can't drive 55. Yeah, I'm talking about you, Dale. I'm not talking about you. Yeah. Driving with your tongue out. We intuitively know what the speed limit is, but we can't do it. That's my point. And that's the purpose. That's what the law is saying. You know what the law is. The law itself is good. If you drive 55, there'll be less accidents, less problems. You'll have better gas mileage, but you can't do it. And that's what audience of Paul, and Paul's trying to tell his audience, look, you got 613 laws. Folks, you can't live into it. You can't do it. And it's not the purpose of it anyway. The law in itself is good. It's spiritual in nature. But the purpose of the law, and there's several reasons, but the three we lifted up, what Paul lifts up is number one is the law is there to show you that you're broken, that you can't do it, that you are a sinner. The law makes us feel bad when we don't follow the law. You know, you break the rules, it doesn't feel good. That's for a reason. But it's also there to expand our sin, to grow it, to shine a light on it, to exponentially help it get bigger and badder. So we can see the ramifications and it starts to press us. And ultimately, the law is there to show us that we need a Savior, that we can't fix ourselves. Because if we could fix ourselves, we wouldn't be here. We would just, whatever it is that we got going on, whatever our hurts, habits, and hang-ups are, whatever our junk is, whatever's in our box, we just quit doing it. But we can't. We got to own that truth. But that's okay. It truly is okay that we can't do that. And again, in the world we have all kinds of laws. All kinds of them. The laws themselves will not keep us in line with God's will, as much as we would think so. Despite the fact that some of us legalistically do better at following rules or principles or even inside the church, disciplines, orders, beatitudes, some of us may do better on the surface than others. None of us do it perfect. We all break laws every day. And we break them because we're broken, and broken people do broken things. Hurt people hurt people. It's just the reality. And so why do you think Jesus, when he was with his group of people, I'll use this hand sanitizer as my prop, but when he brings the adulterous woman out in front of everybody, they bring her out. So Jesus, this woman's committed adultery. What should we do? Our law says we should stone her. And this is the only time Jesus ever wrote anything on record. And he bends down and he writes something in the dirt. We don't know what it is. But he stands back up and he says, those without any sin, cast the first stone. And the old timers, the oldest of the Jewish sect, the Zealots, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were the first ones to drop the rocks because they knew they were busted. They didn't have no response to that. And this is what Jesus is trying to tell them. Why are you so worried about the sin in this person? You know, as he told others, why are you so worried about the speck in your brother's eye when you got a telephone pole sticking out of your own? This is the reality of life. In the minute we can accept our own telephone pole or accept our own junk, then it allows me to go out into the world as a Jesus-centered person and love you just as you are. I don't care what you did yesterday, tomorrow, or today. I don't care. All I care is I just want to meet you where you're at and help you take the next steps on your spiritual journey. That's what it means to live a Jesus-centered life. But until you deal with your own junk, you can't do it. Because you got too many isms, you got too many phobias, you got too much prejudice, you got too much politics, you got too much of the world system in your life to accept people for who they truly are. Broken, finite, and frail. But when you can, and you can just meet them where they're at, and you don't get lost in the world system, and you just love them because they're one of God's kids, they're one of God's creation, then God can do amazing things through that. But we just got to know that we're lost. And that we've been that way our whole life. As far back as I can remember, even with my mom being raised by a single mom, I don't know how many times my mom said this to me as a little kid. Harold, why did you do that? And my response is, I don't know. Why did you take that? Why did you hit that person? Why did you say that? Why did you lie? Why did you do this? On and on and on. My answer was, I don't know. When I got a little older, and people would say, hey, Harold, how you doing? Fine. Good, cool, groovy, you know, depending on what decade it was, far out. But all that was just to keep you at arm's length. Because I really didn't know how I was doing, and I definitely didn't want to talk about what was going on between my ears. Because what you thought of me paralyzed me. It paralyzed me to the point that I wore what I thought I needed to wear. I listened to the music I thought you needed me to listen to. I did everything that I thought you needed me to do because that's what influenced my life. And it's just the truth. And so that's just the reality. That this is what this stuff that was accumulating in the box was happening long before I was ever a teenager. And you too. And so when we get into this spiritual walk with Jesus, it's not about addition. It is about, like, I need more stuff in my life. I need more of this. I need more. It's more about subtraction than it is addition. I need to start removing some of this junk out of my box. Big time. And we need people to help us do that. I've been around for a long time. I've been following Jesus for a long time. I go into the prisons every week. I go into treatment centers every week. And I have for 30 plus years. I don't tell you that to impress you. I just tell you that's what I do. And I've heard all the junk. I know what's in the box. As a pastor, I get the pastoral calls and the phone calls and the emails and the texts. And I sit with people from all walks of life. I know what's in the box. I know what's in it. I also know that you're only going to share about 60 to 80% of it. And then the pride and fear is going to try to do with death grips to keep you to hang on to the rest of your junk. And ultimately, if you live in that long enough, the pain of that is you'll seek out worldly relief, temporal worldly things to make that feel better, because that secrets, we're as sick as our secrets, cause a tremendous amount of mental anguish, emotional anguish. It just causes a lot of internal pain, and we want a release from it, even if it's just for a few minutes. So we eat the cookies, we watch the porn, we go do this, we download DraftKings, you know, we open the stock account so we can trade stocks to get that thrill, to get the adrenaline going. This is what happens. But once it puts its teeth in you, it drags you out into the streets and will devour you. And it happens all the time. So, you know, and just the reality. We all got our junk. I promise you, people here, people listen online. There's people who watch porn this morning. Right here, right now, and listen online. I can promise you. And then you're sitting in church. You're not real proud of that, but that's just the reality where you're at in your life. And friends, don't get me wrong. Porn comes in all shapes and sizes. It's not just X-rated stuff in a magazine or online. It's all kinds of soft porn. Soft, you know, romantic novelties, novels, romantic comedies, Lifetime Channel. You go on down the line. It creates this covetous, which Paul is reaching up. This covetous that I want something that I can't have, something that I don't possess, I want it. That's what lust is. But this is the reality. Why do I do this stuff? You know, why do I keep doing it? I just had a guy who I've been working with for a while. I hadn't seen him in about 120 days. He reached out to me a couple of weeks ago, and this is how the phone call goes. Single guy, got divorced because of his adulterous ways, his drinking and adulterous ways. He ended up in a divorce, got a young daughter, teenage daughter, great kid, great job, very successful in the financial services world. But this is how the conversation went. Hey, man, can you call me when you get a second? Yeah, I called him. What's going on? I said, you started drinking again? No, I didn't start drinking again, but I'm in trouble. I got myself in a jam. I said, what happened? He goes, well, I was on my phone clicking on sites I didn't have no business clicking on. I clicked on this site and gotten this, you know, transaction, and I end up sending an inappropriate picture of myself that I shouldn't have sent. And the next thing you know, I'm being exploited for thousands of dollars. He goes, I already sent him $5,000. And he goes, and I've already hired a law firm who specializes in this, and I've spent $10,000 on them, and it still isn't resolved. And that's what I'm saying. If you test the flesh, you will lose every single time. It's just the reality, and it will be for every one of us for the rest of our life. If I'm not spiritually plugged in and trying to live a Jesus-centered life, then I'm going to fall into worldly traits and worldly temptations. And if I'm not spiritually right, I will take a bite out of it. And when I do, I will test them. I will lose every single time. That's why you see mega pastors. Just Google mega pastors in the last 24 months who have blown their life to pieces. Some of my favorite people. And it isn't a judgment on them. It's just, I get it. And I know if you test the flesh, you're going to lose. And again, you get caught in that secret, and then pride and fear stand out the door and say you can't talk about what's going on. And so you try to manage it, until it blows you up, burns your life into the ground. Why do I do the things I don't want to do? Is everything I'm talking about. It's all this stuff. It's because I don't want to share what's going on. I want to look a little cleaner than I really am. I want to be respected. I want to be loved. I don't want you to know everything I'm going on, or my hurts, my habits, my hang-ups, all my junk. Not just recently, but my whole life. I don't want you to know my stuff. It's none of your business in this self-centered culture we live in. And we're a slave to that. We're in prison to that, friends. And if we want to get free from it, it's going to be more than just saying a prayer. It's going to be more than just getting baptized. It's going to be more than just doing communion. It's going to be more than just coming here. And it's going to be more than just listening to Joy FM. This will require me to participate. And the first big step for so many people listening today is just, I just need to come clean about my box with somebody that I know who's going to love me, respect me, and not judge me, and I can trust that confidant. Whoever that is for you, I hope you find that person. And I hope you go with them as much as possible, because it'll make a huge difference in how your life turns out. It'll make a huge difference how you look at darkness and temptation when it comes in your life. Because it's not if, it's just it will. And what does that look like when it comes? Do I have an outlet to share? I have a mentor. I've had a mentor for 30 plus years. Talk to him every Friday at 7:30. We talk about what's going on between my ears, good, bad, and ugly. We talk about finances and sex conduct and how's it going with Susie and all this stuff. It's all fair game. And we have a covenant enough that if you don't think it's really the truth, he has permission to go to my wife or go to you and ask you what's going on. That's the kind of covenant relationship we have. But I can't tell you how liberating and free, how much freedom that gives you to have that conversation every week. So here's how my week went, good, bad, and ugly. It's important, and it's all through the New Testament. Yet it's easy not to do. It's easy to get caught into simply saying the sinner's prayer and singing praise songs, and then wondering why we're all jacked up. And this is why. And this is what Paul says. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. You test the flesh, you'll lose every time. I hope you burn that. I should brand that title and make a t-shirt out of it, a hat. Test the flesh, you'll lose every time. Because it's the truth. And it will be for the rest of our lives, for every one of us. But the good news is, starting in chapter 8 of Romans, going forward, it's all about the good news. It's all about the solution. It's all about living a Jesus-centered life and what it means to do that. So we spent 7 chapters getting beat up pretty hard, discovering a lot of truth about ourselves. But the good news is, and it ended in this last paragraph we read today, what's the solution? Jesus is the solution. And that's the good news. And it's not just the good news, but it's the best news ever. And we're going to share more about that. We can lose these labels, this junk, the dark side keeps trying to pull out of the box. And we're going to sing a song about that in a minute. But with that, I'm going to invite you all to stand. We're going to pray. I'm going to invite the band back up. And if you're listening online or you're here and you want to just talk more about today's message, you can email me at ask@hiltran.org. If you're with us live, it's on the back of your bulletin. But if you're listening online, it's ask@hiltran.org. Reach out to us. Email, text. We can have a Zoom meeting. We can meet in person. We can talk on the phone. Wherever you're at on your spiritual journey, we want to walk with you and help you take the next steps. And know that we don't care where you are today. We don't care where you're going to be tomorrow. All we care about is where you are today. And we really want to help you live a Jesus-centered life. That is our real purpose here. And so whatever we can do to do that, we want to be able to help you with that. So with that, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today's message. We thank you for Paul and this scripture and this letter to the Romans, which is as relevant today in the 21st century as it's ever been. We're lost, we're broken people. Although we're saved through the mighty acts of Jesus, through his death, his resurrection, his life to come, his demonstration, allows us to have eternity with you, not to be separated from you at death, but it also allows us to have victory over the junk in our life. But you call us out to share our junk, to confess our junk on a regular basis. Yet most of us struggle to do that. We pray for the honesty, the open-mindedness, and the willing to share our junk on a continuous basis, not just once, but on a continuous basis, so we can be free and liberated and not under the power or imprisoned to the darkness that still exists in our bodies. So we pray for that. We pray for all those listening. We pray for the people that we love, that we know are really lost and really in prison and really in darkness. We pray for everybody that we could come together, know this truth, live into your calling on our life, and that is to go out and love other people and to be the best version of us that we can be. And that's powered by the power of the Holy Spirit, which you've given us as a gift that dwells deep inside us. Let us lean on that power for everything, for all the power in the world, to just to go love our neighbor as ourselves, to live as you lived, to be you with skin on, to be a channel for you to live your life through us. That's what you call us to do. Give us the ability to do that. We pray this and we pray it boldly in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope that we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know a little bit more about us, we are Hilltran United. Hilltran United is an alliance between Hillsboro United Methodist Church and Transformation United Methodist Church. We are kingdom churches and kingdom communities for people who aren't into church. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at Hillsboro United Methodist Church and 11 a.m. at Transformation United Methodist Church. Both churches are located in the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains, located in Jefferson County, Missouri. We also meet during the week in smaller groups that we call life groups and home churches, and that's how we make it relational. We hear regularly from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are at. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vimeo, and YouTube, or you can download our app from your favorite app store. Just search for the app titled Our Church by Church Dev and enter in Hilltran United, and you can access all of our available audio, video teachings, plus through the app. Or our website, you can download our PowerPoint slides, bulletin, sermon notes, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. And lastly, if you want to learn more about how you can support Hillsboro United Methodist Church or Transformation United Methodist Church financially, please go to www.hilltran.org for more information and to give. We appreciate anything you can do to help. Hey, thanks for being a member of this extended church family. I'm glad we are in this together as kingdom people, commencing shoulder to shoulder to help people rediscover life and experience the kingdom of God.